Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
turn our attention right now. We say to you, Jesus, we put you at the center. It's one that is worthy to be praised, worthy of honor, worthy to receive glory, wisdom, power, and strength. You are the King, and we come to bring you a King's gift. Come to present you a gift that's worthy of a King. And it might be just simple songs of love. It might be just this moment of time. It might be just a moment where we stop and we stare. And that's all that we have to give. But we give it to you. You're worth this gift, this moment. We adore you, Jesus. We celebrate who you are. In this moment, we just stop and we stare at you. We put aside all the distractions and all the things that have gotten in our way and our lives that get so filled with so many things. And we say, Jesus, we put you at the center right now. All the distractions, all the things of this earth, all that stuff would go strangely dim. And you would be glorified. You would be magnified in this place. Holy Spirit, we give you freedom right here, right now, to do what you want to do, to have your way. We pray, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge you, Father. We give adoration to you. Worthy King of glory. We say, receive our worship here tonight. Receive from this place a gift. The gift of human hearts turning towards you, saying, Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. Father, we adore you. Thank you.
Amen, amen. May we burn with holy desire for you. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Now let's get into the message. The message is our fight. It is spiritual warfare. So we're going to do a series on our fight, spiritual warfare. Okay, and we're taking this from Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, and Isaiah chapter 14. Let's go with an opening prayer. Okay, everyone bow your head, please. Lord our God, we turn our faces to you and plead with you to come to us earthly and often tormented people, Lord. May we find strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom redemption is promised to us all. May your kingdom at last be revealed and everything change for the better, even though we do not see it yet, Lord. May we always honor your name above all others, Lord, for you are our Father, and we want to hold fast to your grace that lets us call you Father, Lord. In our troubled times, we want to have enduring faith that you can bring a new time when good shall at least emerge from all the distress, Lord. Grant that every broken and needy person may experience your help, Lord, your grace and your salvation, and may know that these always surround us, Lord, if only our eyes are open to see and recognize them, Lord. So we always want to thank and praise you and at last know the joy of eternity. To your glory and honor, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay. A little introduction. You may not know this, but your pastor is practically blind without the help of glasses. If not for my glasses, I couldn't identify the people in the first row. I remember sitting in the second row of church where I grew up, about 15 feet in front of me, and church convenient hung on the wall. I never could read it. I couldn't read the board at all at school. I couldn't read billboards. But the thing about growing up with poor vision is that you don't know it. You don't know how much is going on the world around you. You think that your perspective is everyone's perspective. So I really recognized that something wasn't right when I turned 15 and got a learner's permit to drive. I couldn't see the road signs. It was then that I went down to the optometrist and found out that I had very poor vision. I remembered as I left, I asked, is it okay for me to drive home? She said, son, if you can see to get here, you can certainly see to get home. As I walked out for the first time, I will never forget being amazed at the thousands of leaves on a large oak tree. I remember the first time I went hunting. I could hit anything I aimed at. Everything was different once I could see. So you know, when it comes to angels and demons, there is far more going on around us than our eyes can see. In Numbers 22:31 tells us that the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 tells us that Elisha prayed for his servant and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So, through this series, I want to show you scripture and how there are forces at work that your eyes cannot see. They are intrinsically involved in your life, and God's word is pregnant, okay, with truth about these spirits being called angels and demons. Now, we're going to begin our study by looking at demons and their leader called Satan. There are basically two extreme dangers that people fall into when it comes to the study of Satan and demons. They underestimate Satan and demons. I think this happens through the comic versions of Satan that are portrayed in Halloween costumes and school mascots. It makes you think that Satan is at his best on par, but with leprechauns and unicorns, and probably doesn't exist at all. The other extreme is to overestimate Satan and demons, bring them on par with God. You will find people who get fascinated and even obsessed with this sort of thing. Someone put it this way: just as a quarter lifted over the eye can obscure the blazing light of the sun, a star whose diameter is 365,000. We will allow him, Satan, will obscure your sight so that we forget that God is infinitely bigger and more powerful. What is a healthy perspective? William Garnall offered a healthy perspective when he reminded us, when God says stay, Satan must stand like a dog by the table while the saints feast on God's comfort. He does not dare select even a tidbit, for the master's eye is always upon him. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The sea is God's sea, the sky is God's sky, the storm is God's storm. Luther reminds us the devil is God's devil. Erwin Lutzer said, blessed are those who understand that the prince of this world is a slave of the prince of peace. You will probably be surprised how much we think we know about Satan and demons that is found nowhere in the Bible, but most came from secular fictional literature. Dante, okay, from 1265 to 1321, in his classical masterpiece, The Inferno, Dante pictures angels and demons tormenting those who were cast into hell. In all actuality, Satan will be enduring the wrath of God just as much as those who die without Christ. He will dish out no wrath, but he will suffer the wrath of the Holy God. He is not in hell today, but rather does his work on earth along with thousands of millions of demons. In Milton, 1608 to 1674, in his epic poem, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, portrays Satan as both powerful and attractive. He wanted the reader to feel the tug of darkness. Gradually, however, the true nature of Satan is revealed. Goethe, 1749 to 1832, in his account of Faust, gives the devil a name, Mephistopheles, who made a deal with Faust, who in return for his soul, Satan would be a servant on the earth, if Faust would be a servant in the world to come. This servanthood of Satan, where he will help you in return for your service, has been a popular understanding ever since. He shares his power in very tame ways. He predicts the future, gives us Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons, and performs a variety of parlor tricks for the masses, and etc. In our day, Satan and demons are depicted in the songs. He is a man of wealth and taste, according to the Rolling Stone, Sympathy for the Devil. According to Charles Daniels, Satan is a talented fiddler of play who enters competition in Georgia. In movies, the devil has been portrayed in over 40 movies, including Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, Tales from the Hood, The Devil's Advocate, Spawn, Bedazzled, Little Nicky, The Passion of Christ, The Exorcist, The Beginning of Constantine, The Omen, Ghost Rider. Apparently, one producer believes the devil wears Prada on television. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Good Omens makes frequent appearances in South Park. Satan has made it into the video game scene with cameo appearance in Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock. Satan has been in the center of district court case. In 1971, Gerald Mayo brought a civil rights case against Satan in the Western District of Pennsylvania for plotting a scheme that ultimately caused Mayo's downfall. In the U.S. court's written opinion, the court did not deny the existence of Satan. Rather, the court asserted that it was unlikely that Satan lived in Pennsylvania and probably a resident of New Hampshire and would thus fall under their jurisdiction. So what does the Bible teach? There are at least 17 names given to the devil in Scripture. Satan, devil, evil one, great, red dragon, serpent of old, Abaddon, Apollyon, adversaries, Beelzebul, Belial, God of this world, ruler of this world, prince of power of the air, enemy, tempter, murderer, liar, accuser. Basically, two Old Testament prophets talked in detail about the origin and fall of Satan. Both began with by prophesizing about kings of their day. Then they seemed to move on to personality behind the king and the prophet's address, a personality who can be no one else but Satan. And the first is Ezekiel 28:11-12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, raised a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and said to him, thus saying the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, whatever the king of Tyre might have been, he was not perfect. He was not full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Ezekiel 28:13, if you were in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering, sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, emerald, and cubicle, okay, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings on the day that you were created, that they were prepared. Now think of that. Lucifer is one of God's angels in Eden with a sort of uniform, imagine. This is maybe before man was created, maybe after. Can you imagine if Adam saw Lucifer become Satan and he still trusted him? So there we see that Satan is not eternal like God, being self-existent, but rather a created being. He is not omniscient, omnipresent, or omnipotent. Someone says, Satan sure is giving me a fit today. Probably not. He probably has bigger fish to fry than that you or me. But we deal with his demons. Ezekiel 28:14. If you were an anointed guardian cherub, I place you were on the holy mountain of God. Now when we think of cherubs, what do we think of? Naked baby angels. This is totally unbiblical. There are terrifying, magnificent beings. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. Most of these theologians agree that this is speaking of the priestly duties. Stones of fire have to do with the altar of incense. Many believe Lucifer was one to coordinate and led the congregation of praise and worship of God the Father. His duty was to receive praise from creation and bring it before the Creator as a gift to him. Ezekiel 28:15. If you are blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. There you have the entire sin in creation, a simply stated statement. Until righteousness was found in you, what was the sin of Satan? He thought too highly of himself. You see, he had a greater career. In Ezekiel 28:16, okay, in the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, a guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So Satan had reached the pinnacle of leadership, and the only higher position was that of God himself. Did you know that for some people they can't handle failure, but success destroys them? Not only did he have a great career, he had a great beauty. Ezekiel 28:17, your heart was proud because of your beauty. Notice that. His attractiveness trumped his common sense. That is so common. Young ladies have a measure of beauty that becomes to them a curse. They have more temptation, more distractions from pure devotion to the Lord. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. It seems that Satan got to thinking he was delivering the praise from creation to Creator. Why does God have to get all the praise? Sure, he should get most of it, but shouldn't I get some of it? Ultimately, shouldn't I get all of it? What does he do anyway? So I cast you into the ground, I expose you before the kings to feast their eyes on you. This was the judgment of Lucifer. The kings would be those heavenly principalities and power spoken in the New Testament. So he had a great career, okay? He had a great beauty. He also had a great ambition. Great ambition. Isaiah 14. Satan, I will statement in Isaiah 14:13-15. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Because you are brought down to Sheol, to the four reaches of the pit. Sheol is another word for hell. This is a positive thinking as his best, and made the ultimate gamble. He gambled against God. But friend, you see, a gamble against God is no gamble at all. It's suicide. Now, it's foolish to gamble. Odds in hitting the jackpot of the Texas lottery is 1 in 23 million. But who knows, just might be the guy. Well, Satan took a chance that didn't exist. He gambled against God and lost. He set into motion the law of unintended consequences. Gambling against God is the epitome of satanic thought. So when you think about how Satan or his forces will confront you and your family, this is how. Satan tempted Eve to gamble against God in the garden. Satan tempted Jesus to gamble against the Father by placing temporal desires in front of his eternal calling. Satan tempted Judas to gamble against God by handling Jesus. Okay, Satan's primary method is to get you to bet against God. You will be an exception. This has ruined everyone else, but not you. Now, let's get personal. Are you gambling against God? Basically, everyone is placing their bets for and against God with their life. Some of you are obviously putting your money on Satan and the world. Others of you see no future in this world system, and you are banking on Christ and the world to come. Everyone is rebelling against something. You are either rebelling against God or doing things your way. Or you are rebelling against Satan in the world and doing things God's way. I met a young lady recently who was dating and getting very serious with a lost person. God has clearly spoken that we are not to be unequally yoked together, but she is gambling against God. I met a young man who was still single because God has not yet brought a godly Christian girl to him. He could have dozens of dates, but he was rebelling against Satan and waiting on God's best. So, don't gamble against God. Adrian Rogers said it well. Sin will take you further than when you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you wish to stay. So in closing, one of my best friends had the chance to go to Nashville to hear an audio adrenaline record. Her parents told her not to go. She went on thinking that they would never know. Halfway there, a man pulled out in front of her on a bicycle and she killed him. God was judging the secret sin. So let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for all the light you give us and for all the loving help and outward things as well. We come into your presence and ask you to give us your light and your constant guidance for the path we must follow, Lord. Grant that what is of heaven may be revealed on earth, Lord, that we may rejoice in the good and beautiful things you give to all people, Lord. Our Father, reveal what is of heaven and free people from their sin and darkness so that at last they would recognize your glory, Lord. Strengthen our hope for this goal, Lord. Rule and work in the hearts of many people, Lord, that through them your glory may be proclaimed to all. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is the time where we give an invitation. To anybody out there that has not been saved or do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so now. Okay? Okay, maybe you're walking down this long, dusty road, not knowing where to go or which way is up or down. Maybe you're lacking purpose in life. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from something worse, as that is an addiction to alcohol, drugs, overeating, gambling, and sexual immorality. Whatever the problem is, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can't do anything for you if he don't know you. So the question is, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? If so, simply say this prayer. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived, and I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm not willing to turn for my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone, and not to myself. So once again, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, God would like to welcome you into the family of the Lord. Okay? Okay, John Connor, I had enough of you, okay? And if you're calling in on 111, I'm not taking any callers from 111, okay? Okay, so, okay, you might as well not even think about it, okay? The reason why I'm not taking calls from 111 is because I get trolled by 111 callers, so I'm not going to take any 111 callers. If you want to call in with your regular number. Okay, amen. So let's play some songs.
Oh, God.
a bunch of one-on-ones.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's going to be dug on by himself. I mean, that's great. But...
Let's
Okay. Well, let's get into the prophetic word for today. The Father says today is your heart of hearts, not my will, but thine be done. My will is to glorify myself in you. My will is to be beautified on the inside of you by demonstration of my spirit and demonstration of my power. Receive of giftedness of heaven this day, says God. Gifts of healing, tongues, miracles, discernment, the fullness and all that filleth all in all, that you might manifest myself in you. And in so doing, manifest who I ordained you to be. You are not a failure. You are not under the curse. There has been those that have cursed you, but I have blessed you. There have been those who mocked you in your hope, but I have not mocked you, says God. I have not mocked you, but I have sent only begotten into the world to cause his highest heart's desire and greatest dream fulfilled to become reality in your life. There is no lack, says God. I am not lack, therefore you are not in lack. Are you going to believe the bank balance of a man's financial institutions or the bank balance of heaven that has accrued to you by my promise? Listen to me, says God, for I am a blank check, God, and vaults of heaven are standing open that you might withdraw by faith all that you have need of. That isn't what others have taught you, but you have to make your mind up. If you believe the simple testimony of my word or the convoluted theories and formulas of unbelief by which man makes, my word of none effect, anchor yourself in me. Let this mind be in you that was me, the Christ mind, that enabled me to overcome the wicked one and is enabling you to find empowerment from the high, okay, that will change the situation you are struggling with. Amen. And this prophetic word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay. We lost a great player, okay, today, Kobe Bryant, okay, and we pray for his family, okay. I understand his daughter was on the helicopter as well, and so that's a big chunk of the family. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, this concludes the sermon for today. All right, so let us go out with a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we have you in the light of your spirit, which always gives us new determination for the task you ask of us, Lord. We thank you that we may live not just in the passing moment, but also in eternity, Lord, looking with joyful hope to the future meant for us and all humankind, Lord. So keep us in your spirit, Lord, and open to us truth after truth, Lord. May we be part of the people that who carry a light within them, a light which will show them the way through all the struggles and temptations of life, Lord. Then each one of us will know the day by day that you can help us and everyone on earth to a better life through your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, okay, like I said, I'm not taking any 111 callers, okay? So I'm sorry if you're calling from 111, I do not take those. Okay, you need to call in with a regular number, okay? But we are ending the show, okay? As of now, God bless you all, okay? say, may you have a blessed night. Okay, so God bless you all. Have a blessed night. Good night, guys. Have a blessed night.